Greetings, greetings. Happy March, people. Hope you had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Claire. This is Anna. We want to get straight into it today because we're talking about success. So you may want your journal. You may want a pack of tissues. You may want some post-it notes. Get your colouring pens. Get your coloured pencils out. Get anything that's going to help inspire you and celebrate not just the number on the scales, but also the wider impact that losing weight can have on your life. And we are delighted to say that we have not one, but two guests, Anna, because in the world of this, Anna, you buy one, you get one free.
The best bog off we've had in a long time, isn't it? It's better than toilet roll. That's all I'm going to say.
Let's get into it and let's meet them. So we have, hang on, wait for it. I need to practice this. Hang on a sec. Mr. Sleek and Miss Slinky. I'm going to have to keep writing that down. I've got it right. Mr. Sleek, Joe Thompson, how are you doing, Joe?
Hello, I am very good. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, where in the world are you today?
I am at my house in Buckhurst Hill in Essex.
In Essex. Anna knows more part of that world than I do, don't you?
Yeah, southerner. It makes me feel quite warm inside when I hear anything down south. So, hello, Essex.
They're saying hello back.
Oh.
As someone who's a little bit more on the Midlands of the world, have I got this right? Sarah Winter, Miss Slinky, where in the world are you?
Hi, guys. Oh, this is so exciting to be here. I'm in little old Herefordshire.
Oh, good old Herefordshire. Big up Herefordshire. I used to visit there a lot. Look, it's really great to have you both on the podcast. You are relatively like new in the world announced title winners. So we've got you kind of fairly hot off the press. And Sarah, you happen to be on the cover of the magazine. I mean, how did you bag that one? You must have had to keep that under wraps for like months.
Yeah. So that came about in November. So this was all before the Miss Slinky. Some of them decided they wanted to run my story. So yeah, I've had to keep that a little secret since November, which killed me somewhat inside.
Oh.
It is a bit surreal. People keep sending me messages like I'm in somebody's basket or in somebody's trolley or somebody's rearranged the shelves, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm in Devon. Oh no, I'm in Essex. I'm like, yes, it goes beyond Hereford.
World domination.
I mean, Joe, for those who don't know your story, are you able to kind of just give us a bit of a recap of what that journey has looked like for you over the past few years?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's been absolutely wild, to be honest. I started Slimming World in October 2021. And then in about 20 weeks, I'd lost over 4.5 stone, so that by February, I'd hit my target. And the exciting thing about that is since hitting my target, though it's been lowered ever so slightly now, down to 5 stone something, I have maintained that target maintenance for coming up to a year. And actually, by the time this is out, I will have been over a year, which is rather exciting to get my diamond target member. But for me, I think the journey has been about that complete reset. So it's been about taking plan and just kind of letting that reset any of those preconceived notions about healthy eating, dieting, everything. Because I kind of always say this, but before I joined Slimming World, I felt like everyone I spoke to was an expert, but an expert in a completely different way because they're coming from what worked for them. And it really confuses your head. There's a lot of contradictory information in there. So I think it's been very lovely to come have this absolute reset, follow a plan that I find as easy as Slimming World is to follow, and just start to enjoy the rest of my life and not over focus on food. That's a big thing for me. I've like found this kind of base camp where I don't have to worry so much about food and obsess about food like I used to before.
I mean, in your video, which people can watch on YouTube, they can read your story online and also watch on the Slimming World YouTube, you kind of end by saying, I've got the energy to do everything and anything, which is a very powerful statement to end with. I mean, what are some of the things that you're doing now that you weren't able to do 5 stone something heavier?
Yeah. So for me, one of the biggest things, considering how much I love walking, is that I used to have this chronic podagra or gout that used to come up every sort of 4 to 6 weeks, and it would completely wipe me out for a good 2 or 3 days. And I don't know if any listeners out there have ever had gout, but it's not very nice. We're talking, if you rest a bed sheet on your foot, it feels like a ton of bricks. It's really not nice. And it was really affecting my livelihood and affecting the thing that I love to do most, which is walking. And so, yeah, that was very, very frustrating. So now, thankfully, having been at Target and stayed there, I haven't had a flare up for a good 7 or 8 months, which just shows how much that's gone down and has really, really affected my mood and impacted everything else. But yeah, I think in general, when you find your way to Target or even on the way down, I started to feel like this on the way down, of course, but you really start to, your confidence levels really start to rise. And when they start to rise, you start to feel like anything is a possibility and anything is a door open for you, which is a really lovely feeling, definitely.
Do you know, Joe, your story, when I read it, it really was one of hope, because the thing that caught my eye is where you said that you'd given up carbs once for 2 years. And, the fact now, when you just said, I don't have to obsess over food, I often think for all my members, all I want to help them do is just get this balance with food. And that, when I read your story, I was like, yes, this is it. You've almost broken down those kind of fads that you had to do the massive restriction. Has that been really freeing for you?
Oh my God, absolutely. And as I say, if it wasn't the carbohydrate thing, it was for me, that fear of running out of calories was a big thing for me when I tried calorie counting. And I think that's so alien, isn't it? The idea that you could be genuinely hungry, but because you've run out, you're not allowed to eat anything. And also the same with the kind of the restrictive plans that have you eating in certain windows of time. I think that's also really goes against your natural instinct of when you're hungry. So I think following a plan like Slimming World, you've got, you get more in tune with what actual true hunger is, I think. And I think that is really liberating, because when you realize you can have things liberally, it makes you not want it as much, because you know you can have it whenever you want, you know?
No rebellion.
I think that's so powerful. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
It sounds like success for you is like a real sense of empowerment. Like, I mean, I described, for me, it was like I had control of the reins of my life again.
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it.
You know, not on the roller coaster of where am I going to end up tomorrow? I'm going to be in a sugar crash and not knowing when it was going to hit and how hard it was going to hit. And actually, you know, you've got some sense of planning ahead and anticipation. It just sounds like the sense of ease, like your life is well oiled.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the big thing for me is I feel like on the journey down towards Target, I felt like I was fueled by motivation. But I feel like being at Target now, that motivation has turned into more like regulation, because it's so, I don't feel like I have to be motivated to stay here. I feel like the behaviors and the habits are so ingrained that it's regulation. This is my regular eating. This is my regular way to do things. And I feel like that in itself is very freeing, because I don't have to stress and worry. And that's such a nice feeling. Absolutely.
Wow. I mean, there will probably be quite a few people who are fighting with themselves over those final few pounds to Target. And that could be quite refreshing for them to hear, I think, because as Anna's explained to me, sometimes your reason why along the journey can change along the way. Have I got that right, Anna?
Oh, everyone's does. I mean, the reason that I walked into a group in 1999 is totally different to the reason I go to a group in 2023. But like Joe says, it's that knowing that to stay there, you have to find another reason, but almost being there and staying there takes some of the pressure off almost, doesn't it? Because you've learned the habits. And I think that's why it's really important that they are sustainable habits, like taking out the carbs or taking out the sugar or taking out the fat. You can't sustain life like that and you wouldn't be very happy. I think what I see of people like Joe and Sarah is that they are doing things that they're happy to do and enjoying doing, which is how you can stay there.
And I think that's what it is. I think when I was cutting carbohydrates out, yes, pure grit and metal and determination kept me there for quite some time, but it wasn't sustainable in that way. And I think that is the big difference. When I came into this time around, that was about 10, 11 years ago, but when I came into it this time around, I was armed with hindsight, you know, because I when I got there the last time, I got to something which I would assume would be close to the target range I'm at now. I just was never happy. I was never happy with myself, happy with how I looked, happy with what I saw in the mirror. We can be so brutal to ourselves, can't we? And I think that was exactly where my head was. And so this time round, I was with hindsight, I thought, okay, so I know I can get there because I've got there before. I think this plan is easier than anything I've done before. So then it becomes the psychology of not just will I get there, but when I get there, how do I stay there? And how can I keep coasting there? And what can I do to make that not a bother? So it was almost like even on the way down, I wasn't thinking, I hope I get there. I was planning for when I did, which I think is powerful as well.
That's so powerful. And because we hear from a lot of people, I meet a lot of people who the one of the biggest stoppers is they don't believe it's going to happen. And it's almost going through life as if you believe it can. Even if you don't, you've got to try and fake it and you've got to try and go with it, because it's that limiting self-belief of success that stops you ever achieving your success. So, yeah, that's very 100%. Powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I find that really inspirational because I'm someone who has really, really struggle to get to target and then stay at target. It's almost like my mind is tricking me to say, well, you'll never stay there. What's the point in even losing these few pounds? You're never going to stay there. And I feel like I'm fighting against that part of myself. So I find it great when you kind of meet people who have just cracked that and just found a way to get that kind of, you know, just that smooth sailing and finding and grooving out the bumps, and, you know, you're not panicking about that.
No, and I think that groove idea is really important. I've always kind of been a big purveyor that when you're at target, you should treat the entire range as if it's target. So I know that within your sort of allowed range with Slimming World, you can go 3 pounds up and 3 pounds down from your actual goal weight. But I treat the entire range as target, because I think that casual life, you know, sometimes things get in the way. Sometimes you have maybe more events on. Sometimes you're trying to, at target, you're trying to emulate someone with a functional relationship with food until you yourself have a functional relationship with food. And I think in doing that, treating the entire range as target takes that pressure off that very specific weight. So what I've tried to do is find an entire range where I'm happy either way. And actually what I've learned on this journey is, to be completely honest, whether I'm at the top end or the bottom end, I feel like I look exactly the same. And that's probably down to my mindset with it all. So that's quite nice as well. I say it a lot, but that feels liberating too.
Well, it's been freed by the away from the number, because Claire and I have spent hours talking about this. It's the moment that obsession with the number controls you, you're never going to be effective at staying there, are you? Because it's so daunting and it's so stressful. But that 6 pound bubble is a really natural place to fluctuate. I've got a target member and she says, I can't buy my jeans. Do you know what? I know when my jeans are getting tighter. And I know when I need to ease off. And it's that natural thing, like you say. But that is a very hard thing to create. So to hear someone like you who's lost all that weight and is feeling that way is really empowering to know that happy place can be found.
Mm. I mean, Sarah, let's come to you. You know, there are many hurdles, I suppose some would say, that you have going against you, like 2 kids, busy life at home, you're working shifts, it's a demanding job as an ITU nurse, you were working during the pandemic. We have a lot of people who reach out to us, say, how do you find a way to cut through this? How do you stay focused, stay motivated? What was the journey like for you, for people who might not know?
Okay, so I'm an ITU nurse, and I had a bit of a disaster with some PPE, which was far too tight, and as I bent down I ripped the entire back, and that for me brought all my anxiety and fears about my weight to the surface for all my colleagues to see. So that was my sort of driving force then to go to Slimming World and join. But it wasn't just that, it was, you know, I was turning 40, I wanted a whole new outlook on life. I wasn't really living as such, I sort of didn't go out, I stayed in, I kept my husband at arm's length for quite some time. So I needed to rewrite my inner script. The only way I could do something about changing my life was from me. So for me, it was going to Slimming World and making that start.
Wow. And, you know, was it something that came easy to you when you started with Slimming World, or how did you kind of navigate it around, like, having, you know, such a busy lifestyle?
Oh, yeah, I used all these excuses previously. You know, I'm a busy mum. I can't possibly lose weight. I work night shifts, I can't possibly lose weight. But I think you find your reason why. And I think that's, for me, that was powerful enough to sort of pull me through, not just by my own reason why, but with other people, with group was a massive part of my success, and other success stories as well, sort of reading up about other people and listening to how they've been successful, and you think, ah, okay, they've done it, let's just keep going, let's just see where this takes me.
What does it mean to you to be Miss Slinky, to be cover of the magazine, to be Target? Does it mean anything, or is it just about the fact that you get to live your life healthy, happy?
Yeah, no, it means I'm a completely different person. So, I used to watch other women walk down the street and I used to think, oh, I'd love to look like them. And now I don't do that anymore. So it's little wins like that for me that, okay, yes, I'm on the magazine and I'm Miss Slinky. It all feels a little bit surreal because I am literally Sarah from Hereford. I am no different from anyone else that walks into a group on whatever day. I'm just very lucky to sort of be enjoying this experience.
You're such a good ambassador for it, Sarah. I mean, I'm so happy for you that you're on the cover. I think your story literally is so emotional to read it. It really got me right in the feels. And I already know you because I met you at head office, but it got me all over again. But no, I just think you're incredible. And I think you look amazing on the cover, genuinely perfect. Miss Slimming World.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, so I read about you've got two gorgeous children
Yeah.
who you talk about, they were your driver, aren't they? They're a big drive in being healthy. How have they dealt with the kind of changes at home, with the cooking, with how you are?
Do you know what? They've been, my whole family, my husband and two children, they've been absolutely phenomenal with it, really. I sort of sat down with them at the start and I said, look, this is really important to me. I'd love it if you could be behind me 100%. I gave them some recipe books and they said, you know what, this is not that much different from what we're already doing. And you know what, 2 years on, they are food optimizing and it's like an unconscious habit for them. They do it without even thinking. For example, my son's in New Zealand with three other 19-year-old boys and he has become the main cook. And all of his food is food optimizing. He sends pictures every day and he's like, hashtag food
Love it.
Oh, that must make you feel so proud, right? That
Yeah.
he's leading a healthy lifestyle all that way around.
Exactly. And I think, when we talk about success, I always say that I feel that's a real success that I've sort of brought my family in on this. And I think it's something that they're going to take with them forever. They've got this information now that just go with it.
I mean, both of you are just so passionate about it. I'm sure it hasn't always been easy. I don't know many members that have a journey that hasn't been tough. How have you kept going, with a substantial amount of weight to lose that you both had? How have you not kind of quit on yourselves? Is there any kind of hints or tips that you've got on that longevity?
For me, it's remembering your why. So my journey hasn't been, I'd love to say it's gone from A to B and it's gone swimmingly, but I've gone around the houses, up over the hill, under the bridge, I've gone every direction. But I think as long as you utilize everything at your fingertips, like group, magazines, podcasts, everything, remember your why and just take each day as it comes, take each meal as it comes if you have to, but just you owe it to yourself to just keep going because honest to God, the result at the end is, I wish I could bottle it and give it to people because it's fantastic.
Oh, what about you, Joe?
The biggest motivator for me was the social connection part. So anytime I've tried to lose weight before, I'd always tried to lose weight in silo. And actually, it's so much harder. I know you guys have spoken about that before in a previous episode, but it's so much harder to do it on your own. And I think as someone who's naturally a bit of a people pleaser, knowing that I could go and impress my consultant on a weekly basis and get to know my group very well, you have different hard weeks at different times. And sometimes I've come into group and been in a really bad mood because I've had a really horrible day at work, and my group have lifted me up and reminded me why I'm there. And I'm sure we all do that for each other. So I think it's that It's the culture of it, whether that's online, whether that's in group, whether it's on, you know, social media. There's so many people that are like-minded people that are in the same boat. And it really does make the entire journey easier because you feel like you're not alone. And that's really big for me.
We had an email from one of our listeners called Vicky. And Vicky posed a bit of a challenge for us. And we actually thought, do you know what? We'll save this when we talk to you both. Because Vicky was kind of the inspiration behind this idea about success on this subject. So Vicky said she was talking about a previous episode where we were talking about accepting the changes that happen when you lose weight and how you get used to the new you, and said that this is definitely something that she finds challenging. It would be great if there could be a podcast on the small steps you can take through your weight loss journey to help with acceptance, i.e. buying smaller clothes, which I find quite tricky as I'm not used to it. And how can you build up the success part so that you're not looking back too much or waiting to fail? I've lost 5 stone, which I'm immensely proud of, and I would like to learn how to take that success and be more comfortable with it. It definitely takes time and a shift in your attitude to yourself. I'd like to learn how to do this more. I mean, Anna, like, as with your consultant hat on, what Vicky's saying there about that kind of change, getting used to the new you, what kind of messages there when people go to group about how to deal with that?
I think it's understanding that everybody's transition is very different. But I think what group helps you with and what I see is that you have to recognize that sometimes it happens to your body faster than it happens to your mind. And that you almost have to learn to kind of like the new version of yourself that you've created and accept it. And that is something that I always try and help my members with. You know, what are you proud of as you're going through this? And understanding that, you know, you almost have to be proud of the person you once were, but also be proud of the person that you are. But also check in on yourself really regularly, because if you've lost 5 stone and you're still trying to wear the clothes that you wore previously, you're still in that mindset. Like, are you looking at yourself? Are you measuring yourself? Are you kind of taking into account all the things that have changed so they don't surprise you? You know, I remember when I went from being a size 22 and got to a size 12, like, I had practiced going into shops and picking up a smaller size, but still I would reach for my old size because that was comfy, that was safe. And actually it's that just consistently trying to be that new person and practicing, and that saying, fake it till you make it, it is kind of trying to teach your brain that this is you now and it's okay and you can stay there. Because like you were saying, Claire, that side of your mind that's saying, yeah, I'm not sure I'm really going to stay here, is that old scared you that's going, don't do it, it's too much. So my biggest tip and what I say to my members is just enjoy the journey as much as the final destination, and that kind of helps with acceptance. I don't know if Joe's giving us a, I was gonna say Joe's giving us a finger, he's giving us away.
I think the thing that really stands out from that question to me was the waiting to fail part.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that psychologically that sounds quite dormant. It sounds like someone is at the end and now is not sure what to do at the end, or maybe towards the end. And I think one of the things that I did to kind of arm myself so that it didn't feel like being at target felt like any kind of anti-climax was I set myself another goal. And I think as human beings, we're always kind of driving towards a goal. And I think you can get so used to the goal that it was to get to target, you know, the losses and the half stones and the stones and every, and the slimmer of the week, month, etc. But when you're at target, occasionally people can feel like there's an anti-climax because that kind of goes away and suddenly you're there. But I think if you think of it psychologically like, oh, well, then I'm here, I'm stuck, I'm still, I think that of course you're going to then wonder when you're going to come off it. But if you think of it more like, okay, so something that I did, for instance, and people who follow me might know this, I'm sure Sarah knows this, but I count the days that since I've been at Target like days of sobriety, because for me, I think it's so powerful to be counting the days you've been at Target, to kind of wear that like a badge of honor. Because if you think of people that have maybe had any trouble with, you know, alcohol, they're so proud to have got that under control and to be in that space. And that's exactly where I am. And I think Target is this big equalizer where it might take you 6 months, it might take you 3 years. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but everyone will have a day zero where they get to Target. And then to me, that's when the journey starts. That's when you get to enjoy the rest of it. And so, yeah, I try and just keep celebrating that and reminding myself, because if they've lost, did you say they've lost 5 stone?
Yeah.
That's an incredible, incredible amount of weight. And what a shame to be waiting then for that to topple off. I think they should seize the moment and enjoy it, because it's what we're all here for. We're all here to get there. It's exciting.
There you go. Vicky, if you're listening, that's what you need to do. I
Hi,
mean,
Vicky.
yeah. Sarah, I mean, how about you? This idea around like acceptance, you know, when you realize that you don't have to be the girl that blends in the background, was there like a moment where you kind of stepped up and stepped out and felt more confident, or was it just a gradual shift?
Yeah, no, there was a couple of times. So clothes shopping, for example, I still do what you're saying, Anna. I go into the shop and the first thing I do is see if they've got a size 22. I'm not a size 22, but I still see, have they got it? And then I pick up the size I am. I remember I was in a shop and I was trying on some clothes and the jeans were too big. I think they were a size 14, and it was the first time I'd gone down to a 12. And I don't know what came over me, but I literally yelled from the changing rooms, "Can someone give me this in a 12?" Because for that moment, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it. Where, if I keep going, where's it going to take me?" So that was definitely one poignant moment that I can really remember quite vividly, because my daughter was horrified that I bellowed from the changing room. So yeah, and then on the photo shoot for the magazine, the morning, Joe Diggle, my consultant, and my daughter were with me, and we was outside the hotel, and I had a moment, and I said, "I can't do it. Can't do it. Nothing's going to fit. I can't do it. I can't go in. I'm going to have to go home." Anyway, I got over it and I went in, and I was so shy and sort of a bit reserved. But as the day went on, and I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but I left there feeling 10 feet tall. So I'd gone from somebody walking in, you know, all little, to somebody that left feeling on top of the world. And it was an amazing experience. And I think since then, I've just, yeah, it's been a gradual thing, and I go to lots of parties now and lots of gatherings, and yeah, I love it.
You're just enjoying your life. You're living your life. And I suppose that is part of celebrating the success. This is what we mean about this thing away from fixating on a number on a scale or next half stone award or the specific number that your target is. We're talking about the wider aspect, about clothes, about walking, about the way we feel and life being easier and just naturally food optimizing. And I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it just almost sounds like too good to be true, but with these steps that you get and the supporting group, it is possible.
Yeah, and talking about, so I got really hung up around about 6 stone, and I wasn't sort of losing much on the scales, and I can remember talking to Joe about, I just feel like I'm just stuck in a rut. And I think, you know, losing 6 stone or losing 5 stone, 4 stone, whatever, is great, but sometimes that can weigh heavier than actually what you've got left to go. So we came up with a plan that just, like, it's great, you've lost the 6 stone, you've got all these lovely shiny stickers, and that's wonderful. But now just concentrate on a smaller win. And actually, it worked wonders, because, you know, I think the next few weeks I'd done it by just not carrying around that, "Well, I've lost 6 stone, why can't I get this other half stone off?"
Yeah, that's, do you know what? That is so true. It's almost like you're holding that baggage, or it goes the other way. Well, I've lost 6 stone. Do you know what I mean? I did it, like, lost 4.5 stone. Oh, I can have this cake. But actually, you want that last half stone. So freeing yourself up a bit. I love that. You're both so self-aware, which is amazing. It really is.
I think that sometimes people can get stuck on like a base, what I call the base camp, which is where they kind of can start wiggling around between like, half a stone higher, half a stone lower, stone higher, stone lower, and basically they're playing a perfect target maintenance game, aren't they?
Smart
They're just
target,
they're
yeah.
doing perfect behavior for target, but they're not quite there. Maybe they're a little bit out, half a stone out. And I think it's so important for people to take stock of what's happening there, because that is fantastic target behavior. So, and it is just about that next surge, just to get you right to the end again when you're ready. But I've always thought this entire time, I would much rather it be done staggered or be all over the place, but still have the momentum going in the right direction, however long it took, than for it to necessarily be super quick. Because I think we can put these extra extra pressure on us, can't we, to try and get there as quickly as possible, or as this and that. So no, I think it's really important to recognize that base camp bit and see what you're doing.
Yeah, gosh, it's refreshing. I'm so glad that we had you on. It's really helpful just to kind of get it set in your mind and be so helpful to so many members. What's next for you, Sarah? You've already done the charity hikes. You've got Zumba already happening. What's in the pipelines for you for this year?
So I'm doing another charity walk, another 27 miler across Stonehenge.
Wow.
And I'm hoping Joe's coming as well.
Woohoo!
And I'm hoping to, some point, maybe not this year, maybe next year, conquer Kilimanjaro. That's going to be my next.
Oh, wow.
Joe, coming to that?
maybe.
Sorry, Joe.
Wow. And Joe, what's on your list? I mean, I love the fact that you're out walking wearing this 30 kilogram weighted vest, just to remind you of how much you were carrying before you lost the weight. It's amazing. What kind of plans are irons are in the fire for you?
That's it. That weight vest is mad, actually. But I found the more weight I lost, the harder that was to wear, which sounds bizarre. But I just, when you're with something that heavy, when you put it back on, even though I was lugging that around, it's exceptionally hard to walk for a great distance with that kind of weight on. For me at the moment, I'm on a bit of a lovingly calling a Hunger Games victory tour, which is where I'm going I'm going to different groups in and around the area and up to Birmingham and over to Hawley and places like that, and just visiting a number of groups to talk to them. The lovely thing about it has been, whichever group I step into, they're all uniquely different because they're filled with different characters who are different vocal heads in the group. But there is such a familiarity wherever you go. And that has been really lovely. Like, even if the consultant has a different style, there's just a family vibe to it. So it's been really nice to meet so many people from different places and just kind of connect with them, because we're all fighting the same fight, you know. It's lovely.
I literally love going to different groups and speaking and meeting with other people, and just
great, isn't it?
Just letting everybody know that, you know, all doesn't matter what point of their journey they're at, it's normal.
Yeah.
All what they're feeling is normal, or the problems they're facing is normal. We just got to keep going.
Yeah. And success is waiting for you, that your life is... What was the phrase you used? To everything and anything. I love that phrase, everything and anything. From the girl who wanted to blend in the background to now the cover of a mag. I mean, thank you both so much for sharing your evening with us for half an hour or so. We really appreciate it. And so much for us to think about. I think when I'm editing this podcast later on, I'll get my post-it notes out and be putting some quotes aside there.
I've been writing my notes.
Oh, Anna, she's so good, isn't
she? That's all for group this week now. Thanks, guys.
Well, look, we'll leave it there. Thank you both to you so much. Have a good week, Anna. Enjoy hashtag Mr. Sleek and Miss Slinky on tour.
Oh, excellent. Thank you very much.
I want to just say Mr. Slinky the whole time, but...
Said it many a time.
I will get this right. So we hope we've inspired you. Let us know, what does success look like for you? Are you someone who's been in that point of kind of embracing acceptance, like Vicky? Would you like to get in contact with us and draw, talk through, use a poem, a story, a song? We've even had people sing to us about how you're celebrating your success and learning to embrace the journey, not just get to this mythical, magical place we're all hoping Target is, but to live your life now, to be successful and enjoy life for what it is now. Come and join us. Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Anna, what would you like the final singular word to be on this podcast?
Hope.
Hope. Can't do better than that. Have a great week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.